Emergency room visits are skyrocketing from the use of dangerous energy drinks. Are you next in line, suffering from fatigue, tiredness, or seeking peak performance? Real energy. Real. My fatigue was obliterated with a groundbreaking new product called Ultra Rush. I feel the rush, and the best part is I've got real energy for peak performance. Ultra Rush cracked the code to energy. Recently published studies show that ingredients found together only in Ultra Rush increased energy an average of 45% in patients with chronic fatigue, and athletes experienced a 40% increase in stamina. Now that's energy. Visit AlterRush.com, AlterRush.com, AlterRush.com. Free trial samples are available for a limited time. Get moving again with Ultra Rush, AlterRush.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. Not intended to treat, diagnose, prevent, or cure disease. Results may vary.
Hey, y'all, are you looking for Chlorella? Some chocolate superfood with organic vanilla. Food-based vitamins keep you a healthy fella. Use your wife's credit card, don't even have to tell her. Go to Natural News Store, that's what it's there for. Get your superfoods, herbs, and a lot more. Feel young like you did before, and let Mother Nature's medicine work it like it's there for. I know you care for your health, therefore. Don't eat those GMOs, throw them out the back door. Don't stay poor with your diet if it's killing you. Enjoy your life, nutrition that's filling you. We got freeze-dried fruit that's organic. Super clean, superfoods, best on the planet. Blueberry, strawberry, even pomegranate. Yeah, it's ready to ship, and if you buy it, you can have it. Yeah, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Check out store.naturalnews.com for all your organic supplements and superfoods. Or call 888-959-6415. That's 888-959-6415 to order now. Coconut, maca, spirulina, goji berry, superfood protein.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Let freedom ring throughout the land. Let no one trade your soul for dollars, dirty hands. Demand the truth, transparency, for we must be the masters of our destiny. Let freedom ring.
Welcome. You're listening to the Know Your Rights Hour with vaccine researcher and author Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips, now proudly sponsored by the Natural Farm Source in tribute to the late Dr. Mayor Eisenstein. Go to homefirst.com and click on the store button for your access to vitamins A and C, probiotics, and other natural supplements to stay healthy naturally. We are here live Monday evenings on blogtalkradio.com at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, 7 Mountain, and 6 Pacific times. And proudly rebroadcast at naturalnewsradio.com Wednesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Central, 11 a.m. Mountain, 10 a.m. Pacific times. We welcome your calls during the live show. That number is area code 646-478-0772. That's area code 646-478-0772. You can call in just to listen by phone, or you can call in to make a contribution, ask a question, and you can email us during the week. Those email addresses are drtenpenny for Dr. Tenpenny, drtenpenny at gmail.com, and attorney at vaccinerights.com. This is February 23rd, 2015. I'm vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips and my wonderful, wonderful co-host, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Your co-host tonight, folks, are having a contest to see who can stay awake all the way through the show this evening. I tell you, we have both been just really pushing it. And, Sherry, we have to really give each other turns to talk back and forth, or the other will fall asleep tonight, I fear. How are you?
I think you just sort of summed it up, Alan. I mean, it's been the most unbelievable several weeks of activism and trying to get people on board and understanding what is coming down the pike. In all honesty and all sincerity, I mean, I know that you and I have had, you know, this conversation that Alan and I have on Monday night, this isn't the only time during the week that we are in conversation, whether on the phone or by email, that we're sending things back and forth. And if the truth be known, there's just a handful of us. There's a hand, maybe 30, 40 of us in the whole country that are in the front line of trying to defend your rights. And what is happening and coming down the pike right now in terms of eliminating or restricting vaccine exemptions, expanded vaccine mandates, police and emergency power acts, expanded forced intrusive vaccine tracking, publicly publishing exemptions and vaccination rates, making things become mandatory now for adults, it's not just children, and being so concerned about this very short list of pathogens and and what's going to happen if we lose our rights now in these states for vaccine exemptions of the 14 vaccines that are currently on the schedule, knowing that there are more than 200 barreling down the pipeline at us, including taking away the rights of adults. I mean, these are serious and dangerous times for a small handful of people who've decided that they have the right to enforce to be injected into our bodies against our will that can not only make us sick, but can kill us. And, you know, that sounds pretty melodramatic, but, Alan, don't you think that sums up kind of where we are?
Sherry, you know, there's part of the dilemma here is not stating this so accurately that nobody listens to us because it just sounds unbelievable. You know, it's like I feel like part of I do believe, while there's probably no one formula or one way to do this in terms of approaching state legislators, that in general, there's so much wrong with what's going on that we need to remember that most of us have spent many years on a learning curve to get where we are. And so the goal here with state legislators, and I think the media, to the extent they'll listen to us and others, is not to bring them up to speed all at once on the issue, but rather to cast a little bit of doubt, to open the door, to find that one piece of information, if that's all it is, that starts them on their own path, and then they'll go down that path as fast as they are psychologically or emotionally able to go. Because we're asking people to go to a really dark place, which is recognizing, despite some wonderful things about people and humanity and the world today, some very dark things. You know, if the anti-vaccine people are right, Sherry, most doctors don't know what they're doing. Thank God for people like you who give an incredible reality check for the rest of us in that respect. But there are state and federal health agency leaders who are lying to us, and there are people in the pharmaceutical industry who know that they are profiting from the unnecessary death and disability of infants and children, and now increasingly adults, as, for example, more and more healthcare workers are being required to get flu shots, which, of course, is not going to stop with healthcare workers or flu shots, just a starting place. So these are dark times, and I don't think, Sherry, I really want to emphasize that I don't think a majority of doctors are bad people or evil, or a majority of people who work for health agencies or even who work for the pharmaceutical industry. It's really, Sherry, primarily, I believe, just a relatively small number of key decision makers. But where the rubber meets the road right now, as you just summarized disturbingly well, Sherry, is in the state legislatures. The federal government does not have authority to mandate vaccines directly for state residents. They have a lot of influence over state policy and law, but not directly. So the primary focus has got to be in these state legislatures, and we need to be informing ourselves about what is the effective way to interact with these people.
Yeah, and I think that when you say it's a very dark place, Alan, it really is. I mean, and you know, you and I have been kind of swimming in this pond for a long time now, and have known that these things were coming, and tried to get people awake and alert. And people have been quite cavalier about it, in my opinion. And now we've got neighbor against neighbor and sibling against sibling over an injection of something that is contains such awful things. I mean, I once again pulled up this list today of the vaccine excipients and medium. That this comes directly from the CDC and the list of things that are in these vaccines. For example, and I'll just read this just quickly. In the DTaP, the diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis vaccine, there's aluminum, formaldehyde, 2-phenoxyethanol, a modified Mueller's growth medium, which has all kinds of chemicals in it, and ammonia. Ammonium. I mean, like ammonia that, you know, you clean out your sink with. I mean, the MMR vaccine is the one that's currently on the table, and it has phosphates and recombinant human albumin, which then creates an antibody to albumin of the person who's also the recipient, neomycin, which is an antibody that's toxic to the kidneys, chicken embryo cell culture, human diploid cells, which are cells from aborted fetal tissue, gelatin, sorbitol, MSG, is the one that has, it's Procod, that also has the MMR plus the chickenpox vaccine in it. You know, human diploid cells of WI38 and MRC5, which are two different types of human aborted fetal tissues, bovine serum, chicken serum. I mean, these are things that we are fighting to absolutely make sure get injected into our children. I mean, do these in legislatures, I mean, somebody should just print out this one page and take it into the legislator and say, you have children? You have grandchildren, you have nieces and nephews. Is this the stuff that you want injected into your children to avoid them having a fever, a rash, and a cough for 7 to 10 days?
After which they'll not only be immune for life, but they'll have a lower risk of some cancers and other chronic diseases, if I understand what I've read in my own research as a parent over the years. It is really insane. And Sherry, I had a conversation with a pharmacist probably a few months ago at this point, and she was saying that there are some ingredients that the industry does not have to list at all, that they have some sort of proprietary right, you know, some right to not divulge their proprietary recipe or whatever they want to call it. And, you know, it's bad enough what we can see, but if it's also true that there may be other ingredients in there that we don't even know what it is at all, it just goes from bizarre to whatever the next level up after bizarre is. So it's crazy. But, Sherry, I want to let you and people know, well, you know this because you were on my list and graciously posted this on your Facebook page, but I put together some concise information about how to interact effectively with your state legislatures or legislators. And I put together a one-page fact sheet that just lists and then has all the references, all the sites on page two, but just one page of what to me were some of the most critical pieces of information. And at the same time, trying to think in terms of what information can these people hear? You know, if we overwhelm them with information, they're going to shut down. We're not going to convert them to anti-vaccine, at least not all at once, if ever, and that's not really the goal. The goal here is to get a vote and to do that by way of raising some doubt, to let them know that the pharmaceutical marketing campaign, otherwise known as the information coming through mainstream media, is really just part of a larger picture, and there really are legitimate reasons that people should be questioning whether or not that right needs to be in there. So there's no one way to do this, and people are welcome to do whatever they feel is going to work best for them, but the information I have available gives people a starting point at least, and if it can be used as is for somebody who doesn't really know what else to do, that's fine, but you can also use any part of it or vary it any way you want to. It's there just as a tool. And folks can get that information if they don't have it already. They just send an email to attorney@vaccinerights.com and just ask for the legislative activism information, and my assistant will get that right out to you. And people are welcome to sign up for my Vaccine Rights e-newsletter, because I'm going to be sending out regular information on this topic. And Sherry, as you know, I do another radio show on Tuesday nights, and that's one that I, as a usual format, don't take calls like we do on this show, but I'm going to start devoting the second half of the Tuesday night show now to this legislative issue for updates and discussions, and I will take calls, and I welcome people contributing or asking questions. Tell us what you've done and what the result was, or ask your questions about how to do this, and let's talk about what's the latest thing that's going on in different states and so forth. So that's Tuesday night, the Vaccine Agenda Internet Radio Show, and it's also here on blogtalkradio.com/thevaccineagenda, but that's at 8 p.m. On Tuesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 765 Central Mountain and Pacific Times. But also here on blogtalkradio.com for people who want to tune in at least to that second half, if not the whole show, to sort of get tabs on this legislative agenda item. Of course, we're going to be talking about that every week for a while here, I'm sure, as well. Sherry, you and I are doing everything we can to help people with this, and we'll keep doing that. But I do recommend that both of us try to get a good night's sleep or two in here so that we'll be able to. And there's, I'm joking about it, but there's a real important point here, Sherry, because as you and I and anyone else who's been involved in this issue for a period of years knows, there's nothing quick about this. We've got to pace ourselves for the long term. So there's always more to do than there's time to do, but we've got to remember to take care of ourselves. And I'm talking to myself as much as anyone else right now. It's hard to keep up, but we do have to take care of ourselves. And for anyone else who feels compelled by these issues and finds yourself scrambling 25 hours a day and 8 days a week, do take care of yourselves, folks, so that you can last over the long term, because it's not going to be a quick solution. I want to remind folks that this show is a call-in show. If you have questions or comments, feel free to give us a call and let us know, 646-478-0772. Sherry, you did an InfoWars interview, and I've seen that being links to that shared around the Internet recently. Is there anything noteworthy there you'd like to share with us? I know one of the things that somebody had said, quoting you, I think, was saying we're heading towards medical tyranny. And I think you've already said that tonight in different words, but do you have any thoughts about that or anything else from the InfoWars interview? Did that go well?
Oh, yes, it went well. It was really good. I mean, there was and what's happening to all of this thing, Alan, is they've got a lot more interviews that are coming up that are reaching a different audience. I mean, InfoWars obviously has a really large reach and goes everywhere. I'm going to be interviewed by Lou Rockwell this week, and to be in his podcast, which is a different audience. And so what I've been trying to do with some of the interviews that have been set up and some of the print interviews, and I'm going to start doing once a month radio interview with a show called Red Pill Daily, which is a show very much like this one, but very edgy news. And speaking of edgy news, I've started a new website. And the new website is called edgytruth.com, E-D-G-Y, edgytruth.com. We just started it in the last week, and we've already had over 200,000 page views. And it's getting a lot of press, and we're really pushing it forward. And we're doing a soft launch on drtenpenny.com this week. It's just starting to roll out the new website, but we started a second new website that's going to have a little bit more depth. I mean, drtenpenny.com is going to be stick to the vaccine information that has always been there. But edgytruth.com is about politics and education and the vaccine information and fitness and nutrition. And we're going to pick the topics that are really edgy. Like one of the edgy political topics that we're discussing there now and have put up two articles already is about, is it time to leave Dodge? because I get that that question all the time. In fact, I had a patient ask me today that if it comes to the point where there are no states left in the U.S. where they are allowed to have philosophical or religious exemptions, and they start making mandatory vaccination for adults as a condition of employment, what country can I go to? Where I'm willing to sell everything and pack up my kids and go somewhere. So we're going to start talking about things like that. The expatriation rate out of this country in the last 2 years has been exponential. It's been the highest amount in the last 2 years than in the sum total of the last 10 to 15 years. And people are leaving because they don't recognize the United States anymore. They don't we're kind of a bully in the international market, and now it seems as though the government has sort of turned against us, the citizens, to have a right to choose and a right to refuse, and we are now listed in terms of the freedom of press. We are listed number 49th in the world, I mean, just below Bulgaria and just above Iran. And so we're losing our status, and we've got this, you know, thing that happened in 2008 in terms of the market crash. We've had banking crashes. They're now talking about bank bail-ins that we're going to talk about in EduTruth. And so, you know, is it sometimes we have these very dark conversations to kind of play off of what you said earlier about the early 1930s. I mean, and people were in Germany, and they were seeing what was happening, that the Nazi Party was getting bigger, and we were sitting around privately in homes and in small little cafes going, is it time to leave? Is it not safe to be here anymore? And historically, we know that good countries last about 200 years before things start to fall apart. So I'm not telling anybody what to do or advocating that, and some people might get really upset and say, well, I'm here, this is my country, I'm going to stay and fight for it. And that's absolutely what a lot of people should say. But there are enough other people saying, wow, maybe there's other places to raise my family that might have more freedom. So edutruth.com, and we post a lot now on my Facebook page, and in case you've noticed that over the last couple of days there have been a lot of posts that are going up, and it says from edutruth.com, and I've written a couple of new, pretty edgy articles that are going up in the next day or two over there, and I've got a third one that's probably going up tomorrow. And so, you know, if you can join us there, there's going to be a lot of activity to get your juices going, to get ideas going to what is on the edge. So that's kind of a long-winded way to answer what did I do on Alex Jones's show, but I think that we've got some new dialogues to be having.
Well, Sherry, that is just awesome news. Congratulations and thank you both. This is terrific. You know, I hate to say it, but I've been having this conversation with myself and just only very occasionally with other people, in between sleeping and waking somewhere, I guess. But of course, as you just pointed out, a lot of people are leaving and have already left. And I've certainly been asking that question myself, not in a pick up and leave tomorrow kind of sense. But the question is, it's on the table, you know, is there a place to go? Where would it be if I did go and so forth? Because I'm not sure I like where it's going here. You know, I mean, I'm going to be here fighting for the time being. I can tell you that much. But, you know, there's a point where you have an escape plan if it really comes to it. And, you know, one of the things that came to my mind as you were talking about this, I remember hearing the stories about Albert Einstein coming to the U.S. because he saw what was going on in Germany, so he came over here before the war. And I can't help but wonder, if he was alive right now, would he be leaving the U.S. and going somewhere else? You know, so we need to remember, you know, that people as esteemed as someone as Albert Einstein, you know, saw this and left, and yet there were people in Germany who at the end of the war, World War II, were not aware of anything like a concentration camp. There were just lots and lots of people who had never heard anything about that, had no clue that that was going on all around them and in neighboring countries through the war. And this is testimony to the effectiveness of the propaganda campaign and machine. And, you know, Sherry, I like to think that human beings are evolving, but I don't think we've evolved in any substantial way over the last 50 to 75 years. We are just as vulnerable to propaganda as the Germans and other Europeans and rest of the world was with World War II or any other event, you know, back in recent history. So, yes, it can happen, and clearly with the vaccine issue, and I think some other issues as well, is happening. And so we've got to be, you know, thinking clearly, what are we going to do about this? And as long as we're here, we need to be working effectively. And if any of us decide to leave, you know, let's work as effectively as we can to help up to that point, if that's what it, you know, comes down to.
You know, this is sort of, Alan, I think that they've been trying to push this whole agenda for a while now, maybe 15 years. I mean, they tried to get people all hepped up about mandatory vaccination through SARS, and then they tried it through bird flu, and then swine flu, and constantly hyping the potential of a pandemic, and it's going to kill out, wipe out half of humanity. We got to be watching this H1, N1, H2, N5, you know, blah, 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 all these different things, and everybody just sort of shrugged their shoulder. But somehow, this measles thing, it's a familiar, they were out, all these outrageous pandemic threats just really didn't do it. But now they're going to be able to do it through measles. I mean, I got a message today, an alert that came through my researcher that said one measles death and an 18-month-old boy and now has 540 cases reported in Germany that they are now calling for prompt mandatory vaccination of everyone in Germany with the MMR vaccine. And so they couldn't get it done with the pandemic, but so now they're going to do it with the measles vaccine.
Yeah, and it's just bizarre because when you put it like that, seriously, a pandemic didn't do it, but measles? I mean, really? Measles? Measles?
Exactly.
You know, it's just like, I mean, it's just like, what? And it's just amazing to me how with measles, they're able,
I know.
But they're actually able to stir all this up with measles, and they couldn't get it with, you know, with a pandemic. It's just like, what's wrong with this picture? I mean, I think, frankly, Sherry, this has been something in one degree or another, it's been in process for decades. You know, it's not a coincidence that the Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, whatever it was called, in 1986 to set the stage by first removing liability, and then that just opened, you know, the gates wide open. And even further in 2011 with the U.S. Supreme Court case ruling, which in effect says, because originally when you went to the injury compensation program, if you didn't like how that turned out, then you could go back to state court and sue. But thanks to that, if thanks is the right word here, thanks to that 2011 Supreme Court ruling, the Brusewitz case, now you really just don't even have any option. You go to the injury compensation program, and if you get, forgive me, but if you get screwed there, you're done. You know, it's all over. And the Department of Health and Human Services was directed by that 1986 law to promote awareness of the program. I don't recall ever hearing a peep from them about the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. You talk to the people, as I've done, some of the attorneys who handle those cases. And by the way, last August I did a count, and it was about, I think, 129, and then I did a count again just a couple days ago. It's up to 140 attorneys now who handle those kind of cases. It's a growing legal practice area, handling vaccine injury and death. And it's only going to get bigger as more and more vaccines are mandated for children and adults. And if they succeed in pulling the exemptions, then that means even more vaccines administered. So, you know, and I don't mean this in a negative way whatsoever. The people who are drawn to that work, you know, in my book are saints. They're trying to help people who've been injured and killed by vaccines. But, you know, there's a growing business there now, you know, and those people are getting lots of business now because of what's going on. And I don't think they are out there cheering for this either. But it is just so disturbing, Sherry. I don't have language for it. We're getting close to break time here. We got a caller on the line. Thank you for your patience, caller. Hang on, we'll get to you. Sherry, you want to go ahead and go to break while I'm thinking about it, and so we don't lose track of it, and come back to that caller after break?
Yeah, and then let's have the rest of the people who are on the line and anybody else that's listening through Facebook or any of the other social media. As soon as we come back, we're going to take the whole rest of the half an hour here to take your call.
Sounds terrific. You're listening to the Know Your Rights Hour. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, attorney Alan Phillips. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Lots more to go, folks. Stay with us.
Emergency room visits are skyrocketing from the use of dangerous energy drinks. Are you next in line, suffering from fatigue, tiredness, or seeking peak performance?
Real energy.
Real. My fatigue was obliterated with a groundbreaking new product called Alta Rush. I feel the rush, and the best part is I've got real energy for peak performance. Alta Rush cracked the code to energy. Recently published studies show that ingredients found together only in Alta Rush increased energy an average of 45% in patients with chronic fatigue, and athletes experienced a 40% increase in stamina. Now that's energy. Visit AltaRush.com, AltaRush.com, AlterRush.com. Free trial samples are available for a limited time. Get moving again with Alta Rush, AlterRush.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. Not intended to treat, diagnose, prevent, or cure disease. Results may vary.
The Natural News Store is now open. Hi, this is Joni Cox with Homegrown Health with some great news for your health and your budget. Visit shopnaturalnews.com to start saving money right now on superfoods like cacao, camu camu, and acai. You'll find coconut flour, coconut sugar, and hemp seeds, as well as detox products like Zeotrex, Oxy Powder, and Nascent Iodine. You'll also find survival organic food supplies and colloidal silver. Both can help you prepare for natural disasters or other events that might threaten your health or safety. As Hurricane Sandy recently taught America, just one storm can knock out the power grid and leave us all scrambling for food and medicine. We've also got amazing herbal medicine cabinets and herbal survival kits. Plus, we're the exclusive source for the all-new Natural Attitude Turmeric Extract. It's a powerful, alcohol-free, liquid form of turmeric with high absorbability. Plus, get free shipping in the USA on orders of $99 or more. A portion of all sales helps fund health freedom and food freedom initiatives. Find all this and much more at shopnaturalnews.com. That's shopnaturalnews.com.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery. And our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WebSeed.com.
We're back with the Know Your Rights Hour. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Alan Phillips, attorney. Just some really quick announcements here. I want to remind you again that Sherry was talking about her new website, Edgy Truth, E-D-G-Y, edgytruth.com. She's also at drtenpenny.com and tenpennyimc.com. There will be a quiz at the end, so pay close attention, folks. And you can get but we've got so many things we're doing, Sherry, and so many websites, Facebook pages, and the like. But I like to let people know, you know, what you're up to and what I'm up to. And your incredible vaccine research library, which is very intelligently named vaccine, well, not named, but the URL, vaccineresearchlibrary.com, all those words spelled out. Great source. Last count was, what, 6,500 and counting, adding new studies every week, something like that. Of course, you can subscribe to the Vaccine Rights e-newsletter at vaccinerights.com and get information about exemption and waiver rights there. And then the Vaccine Agenda Internet Radio Show, Tuesday night show at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific time here on blogtalkradio.com. Sherry, let's go to our caller. We got a caller, area code 609. You're on the air.
Hi,
hello?
How are you? Hi, hello.
Hello, welcome to the show.
Yes. Hi, thank you so much. I just wanted to first of all say thank you for your information that you've provided to many people, and I continue to pray for you, and thank you so much. I'm 51, decided 8 years ago that I wasn't going to vaccinate my oldest child at 27, and at that point, I was kind of a minority, but I didn't care. There was one book you read. There was one book for research, as far as I knew, which was called A Shot in the Dark. Based on that information and pretty much just, you know, praying about it, allowing God to speak to me, that I decided not to vaccinate. So I have three other kids after that, four total. And my youngest is, you know, getting ready to decide what she's going to do in college. She's in her junior year. And she then decided that possibly nursing. So when that came up, I then figured out that I no longer could fly under the radar any longer. In reference, I'd take a religious exemption. And so now we were dealing with that, and then some friends, their grandchildren had come up with autism, and of course I started to research vaccines again. And I've had a conversation with my husband, what happens if it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out that based on them mandating or, mandating vaccines, that, of course, that would carry over to the adult. And so now we'll have grandchildren on the way, and we've had the same conversations. Where do we go then? If this happens, then I'm not staying around. So I just want to thank you, too, and many other people for just making this information available to consider. And what I've noticed with most people is they just really don't care. They have this trust in doctors, pharmacy, and I'm not against doctors. I love doctors, and I have a real hard time with them mandating what happens to myself and my children. So again, thank you, and keep up the good work. And I think one of the difficulties with people like us non-vaccinators, we really follow. You know, we don't eat GMOs. We're very healthy. Probably some of the healthiest people I know are in my own family. But some of the things that people don't know, as well as myself, is we don't know how to get through to our legislators. We don't know what to say. We're just average working people that are being just like the rest, you know, the rest of, rest of us. We're just, we're getting by, working hard every day, and then we have to call and do. We don't even know what to say or who to say it to.
That's the reason why we put out these papers. I mean, I just reposted to the top of the page the one that Alan wrote. The NVIC advocacy portal, they spell it out for you word for word. Yeah. Print it out, take it with you, and read it. And, you know, you get on the phone and you talk to somebody, you can read the thing. You don't need to have more than a three-minute conversation with these people. And it's just the repeatedly over and over again. And so the portal, what Alan has done, the stuff I put on the Facebook page, it's all done for you. It's just people like you just need to thank you for what you've done and thank you for what you're doing. But people, we need millions of people calling their state legislators and calling them day in and day out and getting their neighbors to call them. Because what you need to tell your neighbors is, you know, just drop this little factoid. Do you understand that there are more than 200 more vaccines that are going to come your way? And do you really want to be in a position that you can't refuse any of them?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, doctor, that's exactly what I've been doing. And people are floored. They don't realize it. And before it was fantastic after this, you know, this kind of explosion from the measles, you know, episode in California. Before that even happened, I started to speak a bit to my friend about the one woman whose grandson had just been diagnosed with autism. And, you know, it was before the measles thing, and I said to her, listen, Len, her name's Linda, listen, if he's gotten, it really wasn't even on my mind, you know, autism, and because it hasn't affected me. So for me, I wasn't thinking, but I said to her, listen, I don't know how this happened. All I know is she was devastated, doctor. I said, listen, no more vaccines, okay? Just help this kid get his body clean, okay? Try to help him eat as clean as he can. You know, do some research, get healthy, and, you know, try to talk to your daughter about, you know, helping your grandson possibly get better, because he has a mild case of this. And that's exactly what I've been doing, doctor. Talk to neighbors. They know nothing. And I said to them before it was even said, because it's so common sense, before it was even said, you know, based on, before my knowledge, I said, listen, do you understand what's going to happen here? There are hundreds of vaccines I'm sure they would love to give us and line their pockets more, and how much more money do they need? But anyway, do you realize that we might not be able to choose, and then what do we do? You know, and I said, I've already made a plan, doctor. This sounds so stupid because I'm so level-headed and kind of well-balanced. And I said, Ma, it was talking to my mother. I said, listen, if this ever happens, you make sure you take, because my youngest daughter is 16, you take, you know, I'll sign the authority over to take responsibility for her. You go to the doctor that we know, pay him money, get him to say he gave her the vaccine. I'll probably be in jail. And she's like, are you? Like, you're crazy, man. Are you? I said, Ma, you don't understand what could happen here. But I'm sorry, doctor. I didn't mean to butt in. I mean, I feel like a fanatic, crazy person, but that's, but I know, I can see. You don't have to be so, you know, too smart to figure this stuff out.
And I think that a lot of people think, that why they think that's crazy is because there's a place in their thinking that's like, that can't possibly happen here.
Yes.
That can't possibly be true, that they would force me to inject something into my kid or into myself that might harm me, and I would never have a right to say no. And I think that that's kind of where we're starting to see things fall apart, is because people can't get their head around the fact of how could that possibly be the case. But the truth of the matter is that is where we're going. And, Alan, I'm concerned about the way these laws are coming into play now. And please, everyone here, and paste it on your Facebook pages and send it out through your email and text it and tweet it, the NVICAdvocacy.org portal, because they have everything that's there. And, Alan, I'm concerned that if these exemptions start being repealed, which we still have time through about May in terms of these legislative sessions to stop this, what's going to happen when parents who really aren't paying much attention and they turn in their exemption form every year, and this year they go to the school to get the form, and they say, oh, well, I'm sorry, the law was overturned, and you don't have the right to refuse anymore. And you've got a 9-year-old or maybe a 10-year-old child that's never been vaccinated, and school nurse Ratchet looks at you and says, yep, they have to be up to date, and now you have to get 49 doses of 15 vaccines in order to go into an indoctrination building called a school and sit there that your taxes are paying for, and now those kids have to get all of those shots sometime in the month of August. How many dead children are we going to have with that, Alan? How many?
Well, Sherry, even without those changes, as you know, there have been some projections saying that by 2025, every other child's going to be autistic. You know, they start pulling out all these stops, and we have, first of all, there's going to be major changes potentially. I don't know, maybe it'll be small enough that it'll be smooth and it'll just, you know, slide through or whatever. But a lot of parents, their kids aren't going to get any more vaccines. So they're going to be homeschooling, or they're going to be moving to another state, or doing something. So there's going to be a shakeup if these laws actually go through. There's going to be a shakeup in the school systems in every state that does this. And I don't think the people who are pushing these repeal the exemption laws are thinking about that at all, or if they are, they're keeping quiet about it. We don't really know exactly what's going to happen. But in some of the larger states, there are, you know, 10,000 people or more who have exemptions, and all of a sudden, you know, thousands of people, thousands of kids aren't there walking through the door the way they were before. It's going to have economic implications. It's going to have all kinds of logistical implications. I don't know. It's going to be real interesting to see what happens if they actually pull this off. Now, as you said, Sherry, because people are already using phrases like, oh, we've already lost here or there. No, we haven't. We haven't lost
anywhere yet.
This is just started, and a lot of the bills haven't even been introduced yet, and so we don't even know for sure. But there's different kinds of bills being introduced or being talked about. Some are just remove the non-medical exemptions completely, but others are about placing more restrictions, for example, on religious exemptions. Well, the truth is, a legislature can pass any law they get the votes for, whether it's constitutional or not, but it's not lawful. You know, I mean, the kinds of restrictions they're talking about, and they're still on the books in some other states for that matter, just because they haven't ever been challenged in court yet, like you have to have a member of the clergy backing you up, or you have to be a member of a particular organized religion with tenets opposed to vaccines. Those are not constitutional restrictions. So if you're in New Mexico or other states where they're introducing or talking about bills like that, legislators don't always care whether or not something is constitutional. So it's not the end of this discussion like it seems to me as an idealist, whereas in the real world it isn't. But it's still a conversation that needs to be had, an issue that needs brought up. You know, we can't put those kinds of restrictions on religious exemptions. That is a blatant violation of the First Amendment. So states, they can do it because technically a law is not unconstitutional until a court says so later. But as a practical matter, you know, to your representative, senator or representative, is this legislative body above the Constitution? Because that's what you're saying if you want to pass one of these unconstitutional restrictions.
Well, thank you, caller. Thank you for your help. And keep doing what you're doing, and don't give up. And you know, you never know whose ears that information is going to fall on and that it's going to take action. So thank you so much.
I sure will. And thank you very much. And I will continue to pray for you and keep up your good work and know that your hard work is not not unnoticed. I have gone to that portal. I've copied and pasted the information so people knew, you know, family members, people I'm associated with on Facebook, so they knew what to do and say, because I was a little bit confused, not because it was confusing, because you're so busy doing your other work, just trying to get through life, that, yeah, you just got to, focus on something else. And so it just gets a little bit getting used to. But thank you for the opportunity, and thank you, and keep up the good work. It's helping, and God bless you, and I'll pray for you when I get off the phone. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
There are people, of course, we keep promoting the NVIC Advocacy Portal because they're doing terrific work. And as you said, Sherry, they just sort of lay it out for you. And I put out a version of another variation that people are certainly welcome to use, and can email me if you want a copy of that, if you haven't found it posted somewhere at attorney@vaccinerights.com. There are other people organizing around the country in states. So it's not just a bunch of all of us on our own here, although it is amazing sometimes what an individual can do. Sherry, this is probably very unusual, but there was an instance a few years ago where here in North Carolina there was an open public legislative hearing on a bill, and I was not able to go, a single parent with a young child, but I sent a letter with somebody else, and they read this letter, and it derailed that piece of legislation, just that one letter that I wrote. And I had a senator at my office saying, how do we get you on board, Mr. Phillips, because they realized that, you know, I had reached out with information that had caused enough confusion that they said, no, we're not going to do this. You never know what one person can do. So if you can get together with friends, if you happen to know a medical doctor or any other kind of healthcare professional or a lawyer, that's great. If you, God forbid, know, but you or someone you know has had a serious vaccine adverse event experience, go share that face-to-face with a state legislator. Let them know that this is real, that these things do happen. It's really hard looking someone in the eyes who's been through a serious vaccine adverse event to just blow it off like we sometimes hear people in the media do. Or even, just read something recently, I don't remember who it was now, but there was a politician who was joking, you know, about, I must be brain damaged from a vaccine or something like that, somebody who was in the pro-vaccine arena. You know, maybe some of these people really are pathological in some sense, that they really have no conscience or have no ability to really get what's going on with this. But I think most of them probably are just misinformed, have never really in any direct way confronted it. So let's take these issues to them so they know it's real. Sherry, we got a couple other callers. How about we try and get them in here in the last 10 minutes?
Absolutely.
I'm going to we got two been here the same amount of time. Area code 812, you are on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Alan.
Yes.
Can you hear me, Alan? Hey, Alan, this is Jody.
Yes, we sure can.
I've had you help me write a vaccine exemption for my daughters. This is kind of late for me staying up because I work as a fireman. I'm up at 4 in the morning. I guess my first question I've asked of Dr. Tenpenny. Dr. Tenpenny, I heard from you from a video that I got probably just a couple months before my first daughter was born called Vaccination at Gunpoint, where a doctor, Diamond, I think, mentioned your information, and then I think I've bought everything that you've put out as far as vaccines, the adverse effects. But for you, the first question, I'm trying to get through this really quick. As far as vaccines, as far as how they determine the efficacy of them, are they, to say that they're 90% effective, are they actually giving, let's say, 100 people the measles vaccine and then turning around and positively infecting all 100 of them with the measles and then saying, you know, coming up with a number like, say, oh, well, only 1% actually got the full-blown disease? Is that what they're doing or not?
No, they don't do that at all. As a matter of fact, that comes down to the definition of the word effective, because what effective really means is that I inject you with something and you develop an antibody, and then there's a presumption that because you have an antibody, it's going to keep you from getting sick. And so when they say 90% of people, it's effective in 90% of people, then what it means is that if I injected you with something and I drew your blood, 90% of people would have developed an antibody. Now, in terms of exposure, do they go back and then expose all of those people to the measles virus to see whether or not they got sick? Of course they don't do that. And so we have come to accept the fact, because we have, that the word effective is a synonym for protection, and it's not.
And that's
where the problem is.
Yeah, that's some of the information where you had about the tetanus, where the they were showing that babies had 10,000 times the protective antibody but still died, but then there were others who had zero antibody but lived.
Exactly. Because the antibodies, we don't really know what they mean, other than they are a marker contamination, and there is a presumption that once that antibody is there, it's going to keep you from getting sick. And there are far too many cases now, far too many case reports that of people that had got their blood drawn, they had plenty enough antibodies, but they got the illness anyway.
And real quickly for, I guess, Alan, I had emailed this question to you. Where does the I saw where that doctor in Oregon was finding the where they were trying to pass new legislation to get rid of their religious exemptions in Oregon, but he said it conflicted with the Oregon state constitution, and not exactly got on the wording there, but it basically says that no law shall be enacted whatsoever that I guess restricts religious opinion. And Indiana, this is where I'm from, has one that's very similar to that. And I guess my question is what happens when they try to pass a law to take away a religious exemption, but it's in direct conflict to basically a state constitutional amendment?
Well, that's a great question. I haven't had that one before. I tell you, it could vary with the specific wording of each state's constitutional provision on religious liberty or religious freedom or whatever they call it or however they word it. But let me make a really important distinction here. And I'm just playing devil's advocate because the answer potentially could vary state to state depending on the specific wording of each state's constitution. But there is a difference between our fundamental right to believe whatever we want to believe and to do whatever we want to do in the name of religion. So you got to distinguish between the beliefs, what goes on in your head, your mind, and your actions. And I suspect what would happen, and there are probably no absolute rights. So we have a right under the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution to the free exercise of religion, and that's a higher legal authority than any state constitution or state statute or state law. But I guess that the question in one sense is it possible that some state constitutions go farther in terms of what they protect than the U.S. Constitution? They can't be more restrictive than the U.S. Constitution, but they could be more lenient. And maybe depending on the specific wording, they could do that. But I suspect what would happen in most states, if not all states, is where they're going to draw a line is, well, you can believe whatever you want to believe, but you can't do whatever you want to do. And that's where we're going to say, you know, that and that's where the Supreme – well, the U.S. Supreme Court actually hasn't directly ruled on whether or not the states have to offer a religious exemption. But it was hinted at in one Supreme Court case in what's called dictum, which is not the actual ruling of the case, but what essentially what the court said, and this was, gosh, a few decades ago, that if that question did come up before the Supreme Court, that the ruling would be that the states are not required to offer a religious exemption. And there are indeed a couple of states that don't. Could be a lot more in the near future, hopefully not. So I think, though, that the key distinction here is that we're all free to believe whatever we want to believe in terms of religion, but we're not going to be free to do whatever we want to do because public health at some point is going to trump that. The concept, I think, is perfectly valid. The problem is where public health gets co-opted by the pharmaceutical industry and they end up defining the terms and the conditions and so forth. And so what really happens in the end result, even if initially it is a valid concept, the way that gets interpreted and defined and put into action then becomes something that serves an agenda that is really something other than public health and the name of public health. So, you know, you can take a great concept and corrupt it and use it for private or personal gain, and you have a serious problem, and then you end up with what we have, you know, the policy in today's world with vaccines. Does that help?
I've sent the email to you and put the exact state constitutional amendment. And like I said, me reading it, it says, you know, I don't have it in front of me right now, but it says there shall be no law whatsoever that would basically, and I, like I said, you'd have to read it. I have it verbatim on the email.
Is this a proposed amendment? Is this a proposed amendment?
No, this is actually, it is a constitutional amendment. It is part of the state's constitution.
Oh, I see. So it is presently part of the constitution. Yeah. So I guess it would depend on the specific wording. Yeah, the specific wording. Because theoretically, if a state wants to say that nobody can, you know, but there's always going to be boundaries. There's, you know, you can't, forgive the crude example here, but, you know, you can't sacrifice a virgin every Saturday night in the name of your religion. And there have been more realistic things gone before the court, like is it okay for Native American Indians to use hallucinogenic peyote in their rituals,
yeah,
which are spiritual religious rituals, even though it's outlawed for recreational use. And that's a legitimate kind of controversy where you're going to have people, you know, reasonable people on both sides of that issue. I think when that particular court case came up, that it was deemed that they could use it for their religious purposes. But the point is there's always going to be boundaries where one right bumps up against an opposing right. And with vaccines, that has always been the idea that you can have religious objection to vaccines up to the point where the state and its ideally, of course, well-informed, properly informed health opinion is that lack of a vaccine is now putting other people at risk, and so that's where your right to refuse on religious grounds ends. You know, the concept may be valid, but the question boils down to who gets to draw the line, and are they really drawing it on medical and scientific grounds, or is it on skewed grounds for political reasons and so forth? So it's a difficult question, but the kind of short general answer is there's always going to be a boundary somewhere where the right to religious freedom, you know, bounces up against opposing rights, and then somebody has to decide, you know, where's the proper balance of those two opposing rights. We actually have run out of time. Jody, I appreciate your questions by email and your questions for us tonight. Sherry, any last quick moments here, and we'll go ahead and sign off.
I don't think so. Just invite your friends. We should have hundreds of people on this call. So, and it is recorded. Listen to it on National News, and we look forward to talking to you again next week.
Take care, folks. You have been listening to the Know Your Rights Hour. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Attorney Alan Phillips. We're here every Monday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time, rebroadcast on naturalnewsradio.com, Wednesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Eastern, at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. And there are archives available at blogtalkradio.com and naturalnewsradio.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We'll see you next week.
Let freedom ring throughout the land. Let no one trade your soul for dollars, dirty hands. Demand the truth, transparency. For we must be the masters of our destiny.